Everybody, let's get started. So this is our first real shiur of the summer, so it's very exciting. We go for an hour today. We go for an hour every day. What's the schedule?
An hour
every day? Yeah. Okay. Good. That's a nice touch here. Okay. So today we're starting with the sugya of Ein Kategor Nasa Senegar, but the sugya doesn't start with the words Ein Kategor Nasa Senegar because we're learning Misach Roshan over here. So let's go through the Gemara a little bit carefully and just to get some clarity on what the sugya is saying, and then we'll get into the concept of Ein Kategor Nasa Senegar and how it applies over here and how it applies throughout Shas. So we're going to begin with the Mishnah over here on the top of Chaf Vav Amud Aleph. Kol haShofros Ksherim Chutz Mishel Parah Mipnei Shehu Keren. That every shofar, meaning the shofar of every kosher animal, is kosher to use for the mitzvah of shofar, except for the shofar of a para, because the shofar of a para is not really called the shofar, it's called the keren. And the halacha is that you have to use a shofar. Where in the Torah does the Torah say that for Rosh Hashanah you have to use a shofar? What does it say? You have to use a shofar? Okay, you have to pay attention to your psicha. Right? It doesn't say anywhere that you have to use a shofar in Rosh Hashanah. It says by Yovel that you have to use a shofar. And we learned from Yovel that by Yovel it's got to be a shofar. So by Rosh Hashanah it's also got to be a shofar. So since we derive from Yovel that you need to use a shofar, you need to use something that has a shem shofar. And the horn of a para has a shem keren, not a shem shofar. So that's the sheet of the Tanna Kamma. Amar of Yosi, v'lo kol ha-shofaros nikru keren. Shemim shofar keren ha-yovel. A yovel is a ram. That's what the Gemara tries to discuss, how we know that a yovel is a ram. And that's why from the bottom of Amud Aleph over here, all the way until the Mishnah on Amud Beis, we just have 12 different words that we don't know what they mean, and we try to figure out what they mean based on context, because the first of them, if I'm not mistaken, is the first of them is Yovel. And how do I know that Yovel means a ram? So that's what leads to, you know, that's how Talmud Bavli works. We go on these crazy tangents. So once we talk about what the definition of that word is, let's talk about the definition of 11 other words also while we're at it. So that's why we really go on that tangent over there. But it means a ram. So a ram's horn is also called a keren, apparently. So don't tell me that the horn of a par is no good because the horn of a para is no good because the horn of a para is called a keren. The horn of a ram is also called a keren. And you know what the ideal shofar to use is? A ram, and yet it's also called the keren. So Rabbi Yossi has a pretty strong point. In fact, such a strong point the Rabbanu don't respond. The whole Gemara over here discusses how would the Rabbanu respond, right? The Gemara's question right off the bat: Shaper Kamer Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi seems to have a really strong point. Don't passel a shofar shel para on account of the fact that it's called a keren. Every shofar is called a keren. So the Gemara has, if I'm reading it correctly, three possibilities of how the Rabbanan would respond to Rabbi Yossi, of where the Rabbanan really learned the idea that a shofar shel para is no good. The first possibility just keeps it the way the Mishnah appears. It just says that we have to put the emphasis in a slightly different place. It's not that. Oh, let's read it inside. Shaper kam Rabbi Yossi. So says Gemara of Rabbanan, kol shofar ikru shofar v'ikru keren. De para keren ikri shofar lo ikri. That the difference between a shofar of a para and a shofar of every other animal is not that only para is called keren. They're all called keren. The thing is, every other animal, the horn of every other animal has two names. It could be called shofar or it could be called keren. But the horn of a para can only be called keren. It's never, ever called shofar. And the Gemara proves this from Pesukim. And Rabbi Yossi's response is, well, let's see, the Gemara says, "Dechsiv b'chor shoro hadarlo v'karnei re'em karnav." So you see that by a shor and by a re'em, Tosfos points out also, it's called a keren as well. Rabbi Yossi amar lach, Rabbi Yossi would respond, the paranami ikri shofar. Now, even a shofar, even a horn of a para is called the shofar. How do I see that? Where does it ever call it the horn of a para a shofar? Dechsiv, because the pasuk says, where is this pasuk? In Tehillim, right? The pasuk says, "Vatitav Lashem mishor par." That what's vatitav Lashem? What should be as good to Hashem, or even better to Hashem than a shor par? Rashi fills us in. Vatitav Lashem tfilasi. My tefillah should be better than a shor par. What does that mean? I mean, my tefillah should be better than gold and silver. My tefillah should be better than, I don't know, say something really good. But my tefillah should be better than a shofar? What's that about? So what does it mean, a shofar? But the Gemara is bothered by something even more fundamental. Shofar and par are not the same thing. A shofar implies any age ox. That an ox, when it's born, Chazal have an expression, shofar ben yomo nikra shofar. That the day an ox is born, you know what it's called? It's called an ox. But a par always means at least a three-year-old. So how could it be that it's a shor and a par? If you're a shor, you're not a par. If you're a par, you're not a shor. It doesn't make sense to call it a shor par. So v'atitz l'Hashem, a shor par, my tefillah should be better than a shor par? Im shor lama par, im par lama shor. The two don't fit together. Elamai, shor par? No, you got to read it fast. Shor par, shofar. That it's v'atitz l'Hashem, a shofar. That my tefillah should be better than a shofar to Hashem. Is that a real drasha? Doesn't sound like it, but it has to be, right? Because this is based on Rabbi Yossi's Shita. Right? Rabbi Yossi's saying that on a Doraisa level, you're allowed to use a horn of a para because of this pasuk, because we see that it's called a shofar, and therefore it fits the criteria of being called a shofar. Unless you say that Rabbi Yossi has some other reason why he thinks that it's okay, and he's just answering the Rabbanan that you see that it's called a shofar on some level. So, Rabbanan, what would Rabbanan respond to that? Now, I don't know, if I was Rabbanan, I would say, my response would be, come on. Shofar. That's they take it seriously. Rabbanan, Rav Masna. Tam Rav Masna, my shofar, shehu gadol kepar. It's talking about the shofar of my sabreishis, that on the day that it was created, it was already as big as a par. Right, when Adam HaRishon was created, Adam HaRishon was not created as an infant, he was created as an adult. So the shor that was created, the Maisa Bereishis also was not created as a baby shor, as a shor ben yomo, it was already created as a big shor. That's explanation number one. So again, the Gemara started with saying, Shapir Kam Rabbi Yossi. The Rabbi Yossi had a strong taina on the Rabbanan. How are the Rabbanan going to explain why it is that a shofar shel para is puzzle, if after all the horn of every animal is called the keren? So explanation number one is that the horn of a para is exclusively called a keren. It's not called anything but a keren. Whereas the horn of every other animal, yeah, it's called a keren, but it's also at least called the shofar. So the machlokas, Rabbi Yossi and the Rabbanan, is do we ever find a horn of a para called shofar? That Rabbi Yossi says, yes, we do, because shor par means shofar. And the Rabbanan say, no, we never find a para's horn called a shofar. So far, so good? Any questions? So far, so good? Yeah? Okay, so says the Gemara, I have a second explanation of why the Rabbanan think a para's horn is good enough. Ula Amar, second answer. The real basis of the Rabbanan Shita is nothing that's mentioned in our Mishnah. It's a total secondary point. The basis of the Rabbanan is Kidrav Chista. Why is it that a Kohen Gadol is not allowed to go lifnei v'lifnim in the Kodesh HaKadoshim wearing the Big Day Zahav? Meaning normally a Kohen Gadol wears Big Day Zahav. He has a regular Kohen has Big Day Kohen Hedyot, right? A regular Kohen wears Dalit Begadol. A Kohen Gadol, let me give Shira two standards. A Kohen Gadol works with Shmona Begadim, right? The Shmona Begadim of a Kohen Gadol, which include Big Day Zahav, right? So, but when it comes to Yom HaKippurim, when the only day of the year where the holiest man on the holiest day goes Lefnai V'Lefnim, so when it comes to Yom HaKippurim, when he goes into the Kodesh HaKadashim, he's not allowed to wear the Big Day Zahav. He's got to only wear the Big Day Lavan. So why, and that's why he's changing his clothing constantly on Yom Kippur. Right? How many times does Kohen Gadol go to the mikvah on Yom Kippur? Five tvilos, and ten times he washes his hands and feet. Right? Because with each change of clothing, he's tovel, and with each change of clothing, he washes his hands and feet twice. once when he removes one type of begadim, one set of begadim, and once when he puts on the other set of begadim. So he's constantly going in the mikvah, he's constantly changing, because he has to keep going in and out to do the various avodos that need to be done, lefnai v'lefnim. What taka does he do lefnai v'lefnim? He's got to be maktir ketoris lefnai v'lefnim, he's got to be mazad dam, he has to sprinkle dam lefnai v'lefnim, so, and those are at different times, so he has to go in a couple of times, so he's always changing his clothing. But one thing we know is that he never ever wears big day zahav lefnai v'lefnim. Why doesn't he wear his golden clothing? The golden clothing are much more honorable clothing. You would think that if he's going to such a holy place, right, he would put on the most honorable clothing. It's even like a melitza sometimes people use when they describe, I heard people describe, you know, how impressive it is to meet a Sephardic chief rabbi, right? They say, you know, he comes, he's wearing the Shemayda Begadim, they say he's not actually wearing the Shemayda Begadim, it's just an expression that people use, that he's wearing, you know, the turban and the robe, and it just, like, looks impressive. The Shemayda Begadim are very impressive. So how come he doesn't go to Fnei B'lefnim wearing the Big Day Zahav? So says the Gemara, Rav Chisda explains, because the Big Day Zahav is reminiscent of the Egel HaZahav, and here he's trying to achieve kapara for Klal Yisrael. So how could you go in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam, like reminding him of a terrible unfaithfulness that Klal Yisrael had? It was mamish like Kabbalah Satorah was the chuppah of Klal Yisrael with the Ribbono Shel Olam, and we cheated on him at the chuppah. Like there's a terrible, this Avera is something that still haunts us. So we're going to go in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam with Big Day Zahav lefnai, so it can't be. So says the Gemara, below the Yikadam Par, is that true that we don't do anything that's reminiscent of the Egel HaZahav at all lefnai v'lefnim? Well, we take the dam of the par and we sprinkle it lefnai v'lefnim. What's a par? It's an adult Egel. So isn't that also something that might bring to mind where Hashem's going to say, oh, I remember this. This isn't good. This is reminiscent of the Egel. So says Marana, hold ishtani ishtani. It's one thing when you have something that looks like the Egel, gold is gold, but an Egel versus blood of a par is totally different. Why is it different? What does it mean? It's ishtani.
It doesn't have the appearance.
It doesn't have the appearance. It just looks like blood. And the Egel's blood, there wasn't blood, it was gold, right? So it's totally, right, it was a golden calf, right? It didn't bleed. So it was different on so many levels, meaning even if it were a real calf, you wouldn't see the blood, it would be just running through its veins, it wouldn't have appeared. But it didn't even have any blood, it was Egel HaZahav. So this doesn't look like a par, this just looks like blood, so it's not at all reminiscent of the Egel HaZahav. So says Mark, wait, there's still more gold involved in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And what we should try to do over here is just try to figure out what the rule is. When do we say that gold is a problem, and when do we say it's not a problem? Because whenever we're saying gold is a problem, that's like saying, when do we hold that in Kategor Nasa Sanegor is a problem, and when is it not a problem? It just happens to be the example of in Kategor Nasa Sanegor we're using over here is gold of Fnei V'lefnim, right? Bringing gold of Fnei V'lefnim. But really, it could have many applications. So what the Gemara is doing by qualifying what kind of gold is a problem, it's really qualifying the whole rule of Ein Kategor Nasa Sanegor, right? So the whole rule of Ein Kategor Nasa Sanegor is only going to apply in certain circumstances. So number one, if it's ishtana, if it's changed in any way from that which it's reminiscent of, then it's not going to be a problem of Ein Kategor Nasa Sanegor. Says Gemara, but what about Vayika Aron V'Kaporesu Kruv? It's an unusual thing to say, kruv. What should it have said?
Kruvim.
Yeah, I don't know why it does that. Right? Meaning there are two kruvim, they're both made out of gold. I don't know why it only identifies one, nor do I know which one it's referring to. Right? Meaning it probably just means the concept of a kruv, but the kruvim. The aron, the kaparas, the kruvim, they were all made out of gold. And where were they located? At least in Bayis Rishon, they were all of Nai V'lefnim. Where were they in Bayis Sheni?
Underground.
So, Machlokas, whether they were underground or totally off premises, we assume probably that they were underground. So they weren't there in the Kodesh HaKadosh in Bayis Sheni, but in Bayis Rishon they were. The Aron, the Kaporas, what's the Kaporas? The covering of the Aron, right? The lid on the Aron, and the Kruvim. So that was all gold. So it says in Gemara, Chote Bal Yakriv Ka'amrina. What does that mean? Chote Bal Yakriv Ka'amrina. That if you're a Chote and you're looking for Kapara, don't go bringing in something that's gold. But over here, these are stationary elements. They're not, you're not like using them to try to achieve kapara. You're not using this as something that's going to appease the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's not meant as a ritzui in any sense or a kapara in any sense. So since it's not a kapara, it's not going to be a problem. So now we have our second rule of Ein Kategoras Neger. So again, first rule is Ein Kategoras Neger is only if it's unchanged. Second rule is Ein Kategoras Neger is only in the context of trying to achieve kapara or ritzui, of trying to bring something to make Hashem happy. But something that's just stationary, that's just always there, but it's not something that I'm offering to make Hashem happy with me, is not going to be a violation of Kategoras Neger. Says Gemara, a third challenge. V'ika kafu machta. What about the kaf of Ketores? They would bring in a spoonful, a ladleful of Ketores, and the shovel that had the coals on it, right? They would have a golden shovel that had coals in it so that it could burn the Ketores. Not they, the Kohen Gadol. This was part of the avodah of Yom Kippur when every single day we'd be makdir Ketores in the Beis HaMikdash, but that was outside of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. That was on the small Mizbeach, they'd be makdir Ketores. But once a year they had a second Ketores. They'd be makdir Ketores lifnai v'lifnin. And they had to bring in the Kohen Gadol had to bring in a shovel full of gold and a ladle full of Ketores, and he would place the shovel full of gold down, and then he'd have to drop the Ketores on the coals, and it would that's how they would burn the Ketores. Now it happens to be gold is a metal, right? Metals are a very strong conductor of heat. So if he's bringing a shovel full of hot coals, probably hurts a lot to do that. So there's a discussion in the Rishonim, the Tosus understands, the Gemara and Yuma, that they must have had some sort of handle on it, like a plastic handle or something. Not plastic, I don't think plastics were invented yet, but they had some sort of handle that, to cover the basic handle of the shovel, so he didn't burn his hand. But still, these things were made out of gold, and it was l'fayvul fim, and it was not a shtane, it was still gold, it looked like gold, and it was for the purpose of kaparos, for the purpose of being meratz, so it didn't fit any of the first two heterim, right? It didn't fit any of the first two exceptions to the rule. So what do you say about that, asked the Gemara. So it says Gemara, a third exception, chote bal yisnoe ka'amina. That in kategoras neger is only when one is yisnoe. What does that mean, bal yisnoe? That one is glorified through this, that one is beautified in some way, that it has a sense of noi. Now, where exactly do you have a sense of noi over here? So, Tosus writes, meaning the problem is, we're saying that there's a problem in Kategoras Neger by a shofar. So, shofar, it's not a shtana, so I understand why shofar works with the first rule. Shofar is for the sake of ritzui, you're trying to appease the Ribbono Shel Olam. Again, why it works with the second rule, right? I'm going and I'm offering this as an appeasement to Hashem. Right, that makes sense. But if it's only problem Ein Kategoras Neger when it's yisna'eh, how does shofar fit into that? Shofar is, where's the glory in the yisna'eh? So Tosos in Dibur Maschuchot, he says, v'gavi shofar misna'eh nami b'kol tkiyasa, that the sound of the tkiyah is something that you're proud of yourself. You blow a shofar, and stuff. If you get out a really good tequila, it's like, I did that. That's yisna. I once tried to blow a shofar in my shul. I practiced a lot. I could blow 100. If you bring me a shofar right now, I could blow 100 perfect kolos. Put me up in front of a crowd in Rosh Hashanah, it'll just and I'll start bleeding, and it's like I fall apart. So I've totally cracked under pressure, totally bleeding.
How did you bleed from the shofar?
I don't know. I guess you press too hard against it. I don't know if I knew how. I wouldn't do it. But that's the yisna'a. Now the Ritva says no. The yisna'a. If you look in the Lashon on the Ritva, he says v'shofar nami bal yisna'a su lahartzo saladova. He seems to yisna'a means the idea that you're feeling like you're serving Hashem properly. That a sense of that it's a sense of ritzo in front of Hashem.
How do you know that Tosos holds it's begedder bal yachid?
How do I know?
That Tosos holds that we're begedder bal yachid, but also that the shofar counts as a hakrava. As in, I'm not bringing anything to Hashem.
So what you have to say is that what it really means is that if I'm offering some, meaning I'm doing something, I'm actively doing something to be meratz HaKadosh Baruch
Hu. Why does it have to be begedder bal yachid? Why can't we say according to Tosfos?
Just the simple reading of the Gemara. Meaning the Gemara said that Ein Kateger Nasnegar applies to a shofar. And then it starts qualifying when Ein Kateger Nasnegar applies. And it says, well, it only applies if it's, you know, if it's Balyakrav. It only applies if it's, you know, that you're offering something for a kapara. Right?
Unless,
so it's the only way it fits.
Unless you're Maskar of the Gemara, that only ice not matters.
Oh, okay, so we're not at the Maskar of the Gemara yet. Just one second. So it sounds, the simple pshat, I'm just reading the simple Gemara. Simple pshat is we're making one qualification on top of another on top of another. That there are three separate qualifications so far in order to make something in Kateg Nasnega. Says Gemara, but there's something else. V'ika big day zahav mi bachutz. What about the fact that the Kohen Gadol wears the big day zahav? Maybe not willing to tonight the lefnim, but he wears big day zahav when he's doing everything else, when he's outside, when he's outside of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So it's not ishtana, it's gold. It's for the sake of kapara. It's noy because it's glorious for him to be wearing the big day zahav. And it's so how come that's not a problem in kateger nas neger? So says Gemara mi befnim ka'amrinan. That no, in kateger nas neger is only a problem mi befnim. So says Gemara, what are you talking about? It's only a problem mi befnim. Then we have a problem with shofar. The shofar is not mi befnim. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. How can you say that mi befnim? Shofar not mi bechutzu. Nah, shofar is like befnim. Keep it to the zikaron who keep befnim dami. It's similar to bifnit. So that's one long answer the Gemara is giving. Again, the Gemara started with the question, how are the Rabbanan going to respond to Rabbi Yossi's challenge when the Rabbanan passed a shofar shalpara, right? The Rabbanan passed the shofar shalpara on account of the fact that it's called the Karen and not called the shofar. But Rabbi Yossi showed you that everything is called the Karen. How are the Rabbanan going to respond? So answer number one is that only a shofar shalpara is exclusively called a keren and not a shofar. Answer number two is, nah, it's not really the main point. The main point, the real reason that Rabbanan don't allow a shofar shalpara is Eka Tegu Nas Neger. It has nothing to do with keren, shofar, anything. It's Eka Tegu Nas Neger. That's the real issue. So the Gemara says, but Vatana Vipnesh Vikaren Kama. You know, you can make up whatever reasons you want, but the Mishnah gave a reason. The Rabbanan gave a reason in the Mishnah. It said, Vipnesh Vikaren. So it says, yeah, chad avod kamar. They meant to say two reasons. Chad ein kateger nasnegar, od meishu keren. Okay, then the Gemara, and how would Rabbi Yossi respond to each of those? Rabbi Yossi, yom alach to kamar, ein kateger nasnegar, hani mi bifnim, vayishofar mi b'chutzu. Rabbi Yossi is not going to buy this idea that just because you're blowing the shofar, it's considered bifnim. Rabbi Yossi would say, nah, it's not really considered bifnim, it's b'chutz. With the combination of Karen, call a shofar Sami Ikra Karen. And we already dealt with what Rabbi Yossi is going to say about the Karen, and all shofars are called Karen. And then the Gemara is a third approach. And we're going to go back to the second approach because that's obviously our focus for today. But third approach of how the Rabbanan are going to explain why a shofar shalpar is problematic. Abai Amar Haina Tamayad Rabbanan, shofar Amar Rachmana, Voshnaim Mushlosha Shofar. God depart, Kivin the Kai, Gildi Gildi, Mishazi Kishnaim Mushlosha Shofar. It's just based on the anatomy or the way a para's shofar grows. That it grows in layers and it looks like two or three shofaros as opposed to a single shofar, and therefore it's going to not fit the criteria of being a shofar. But that's not the reason that the Mishnah gave. Vatanam Neshu Karen Kamar. Yeah, Chad Va'od Kamar. He really meant two reasons. Chad the Shofar Echol Arachman of Lashem Shlosh Shofaros. Va'od Neshu Karen. You got to stop doing this. Va'od Neshu Karen. And furthermore, because it's a Karen. Rabbi Yossi Amalach the Kamar Shofar Echol Arachman of Lashem Shlosh Shofaros. Keeping the Mechabri Adadi Chadu. Rabbi Yossi says, nah, two or three things that are attached to each other is considered one thing. And as far as Karen, we already dealt with that. Okay, let's back up a step. Let's go back to step number two. So again, just to summarize the Gemara, I just thought it's worthwhile to go through the Gemara. Just a basic summary of the Gemara. We have Machlokas Tanoim in the Mishnah. Can you use the Shofar Shalpara for Rosh Hashanah? The Rabbanan say no. Rabbi Yossi says yes. And the Rabbanan say the reason you can't is because it's called the Karen, it's not called the Shofar. The Gemara asked, for Rabbi Yossi showed you that everything is called the Karen? So three answers for the Rabbanan. Answer number one is, yes, everything is called the Karen, but only Para is exclusively a Karen and not a Shofar. Answer number two is, no, the real reason a Shofar Shofar is problematic is because Ein Kateger Nasa Senegar. within that explanation of Ein Kategor Nasa Sanegor, we have to explain that there are four limitations on Ein Kategor Nasa Sanegor. It's only when it's loishtane, when it hasn't changed. It's only when it's for some sense of kapara. It's only when it's for a sense of noi. It gives a sense of beauty or pride. And it's only bifnim. It's only when it's lefnai vilifnim. And then the third answer is that the problem with shofar shofar is that it's multiple shofaros. It's not really a single shofar. That's the Gemara. Now, if I were to ask you, based on this Gemara, this principle of Ein Kategor Nasa Sanegor, before we apply it all over Shas and Poskim and everywhere else, because it's got to be applied elsewhere, this principle of Ein Kategor Nasa Sanegor, din d'oraisa or din d'rabbanan? That's how you always have to start every sugya, right? Anytime you have a principle, you have a concept, you have a mitzvah, you have a issur, you always have to ask yourself, d'oraisa or d'rabbanan? You have to know what we're dealing with over here. So when you see this Gemara, Ein Kategor Nasa Sanegor, din d'oraisa or din d'rabbanan? What are you telling me? Any thoughts? Raya's? No, come on.
Maybe they did a lot of it, no,
so, so, okay, as Shai Kamenetsky told me when he was taking his masmidim bechina, they still do that, right? If you want to apply for why you masmidim, so the bechina was with Rav Tversky and Rav Shachter. I think maybe Rav Rosenzweig also, but definitely Rav Tversky and Rav Shachter. And every time Rav Shachter asks a question, he makes it sound like the simplest question in the whole world. And if you don't know the answer to this question, like, do you even know Aleph Beis? Like, he asks like questions that sound so passionate, but like no one knows the answers to them. So he like every line in Gemara that he read, Rav Shachter would say to him, is that a din d'oraisa or a din d'rabbanan? You know, like, this is a very simple question. So Shai said he had no idea. So he guessed. So he kept guessing d'oraisa. So at some point, Rav Tversky actually stopped the bechina and said, Shai, if you're not thinking of a pasuk, then probably don't guess d'oraisa. Because the natural follow-up question, if you can say something is d'oraisa, is where's the pasuk, right? So your intuition is good. If there's no pasuk, it's got to be, I mean, the best guess is d'rabbanan. Are there any rais that it's d'oraisa?
We aren't quoting the pasuk, but we're quoting the d'oraisa law that Cohen has to change his clothing.
Ah, meaning it's definitely din d'oraisa that he doesn't wear big days off, l'fnai v'l'fnim. And we're explaining that din d'oraisa, that the basis of that din d'oraisa is in kategor nasa sanegor. So maybe, it sounds like, and furthermore, right, what did we say? That why is it, in the Mishnah, why is it that the chamol you're not allowed to use a para? Because the Torah never calls it a shofar. That's d'oraisa, right? That's and when the Gemara, you know, says, oh, that wasn't the only reason, it's chadava od ka'amar. What does chadava od ka'amar mean? There are two reasons. Sounds like there are two equal reasons, that the two reasons are on the same level. So it sounds like it's d'oraisa. And the fact that we're learning it, you know, from Kohen Gadol and Yom HaKippurim, which itself is a din d'oraisa, seems to be an indication that it's a d'oraisa. So we're saying, if there is this din d'oraisa, that a Kohen Gadol is not allowed to go l'fnei with the big days off. And the basis of that din d'oraisa is in Kategor Nasa Sanegor, which is a svara. Right? In the end of the day, that's what it is. It's a svara. That's the basis for the din d'oraisa. So then that same din should apply to a shofar. That's what the Gemara is doing. Sounds like. Asks Rav Asher Weiss a fundamental question. He says, I don't understand. There's a concept called, there's a discussion in the Gemara Masech Sanhedrin whether Darshin in time of the Krah or Lo Darshin in time of the Krah. That when there's a basis, a reason for a din in the Torah, so there's a discussion, are we Darshin in time of the Krah or not Darshin in time of the Krah? Meaning, can you take the reason for the din and then apply it elsewhere and say, oh, based on that reason, so that's going to change this halacha and that halacha and that halacha. What are we doing over here? Isn't this Darshin in time of the Krah? Meaning, the din is that a Kohen Gadol wears big day lavan lefnai v'lefnim. What's the reason for the din? Ah, Ein Kategor Nasa Sanegor. That's a svara. That's the reason for the din. Oh, now that I know the reason for the din, I'll apply that same reason to other dinim. And now I'm going to say that you're not allowed to use the shofar shel para because of this reason of Ein Kategor Nasa Sanegor. This is Darshin on time with the crowd. Where do we have, in what context do we have Darshin on time with the crowd? Anyone ever see anything about Darshin on time with the crowd? What's the...
Oh,
by a beggar almana, right? So what about an almana?
I mean,
Right, because if you make her give a mashkun, you're going to be going to her house all the time and to return her clothing, her daytime clothing for the night, for the day, and her nighttime clothing for the night, and it's going to look bad that you're always going to the almana's house. But what if the almana's an ashira? She has a closet full of clothing. She doesn't need you to go back and forth every time. So if you're darshin and time is the cry, you're going to say, then you're allowed to take mashkun from an almana. Or you have let's say a melech is not allowed to marry too many wives. How many is too many?
20.
Okay, so it's a lot more than you would think one would be comfortable marrying, right? So, but a melech is not allowed to marry. More than one should be more than you would think one would be comfortable marrying. But a melech is not allowed to marry too many wives. Why? Because she may be meser levavo, she may turn him astray or whatever. Right? So what if you're Shlomo Melech and you're Libo Rechava, you're someone who's very, very broad and strong in your convictions, and you're unlikely to be led astray, so then maybe then it wouldn't be a problem if you'd say Darshin on time of the crow. Right, so it didn't work out so well for Shlomo. Can you do me a favor? The Eretz HaTzvi in the second sefer on that pile. Can you just give me a second? So so this concept of Darshin in the time of the Kra, Rav Shachter points out in Eretz HaTzvi that a lot of times people misunderstand this concept. A lot of times people say, "Oh, Darshin in the time of the Kra means that we care about what the reasons are for the psukim, for the demon." Of course, we care about what the reasons are. We always look for reasons. You ever learn Sefer HaChinuch? Sefer HaChinuch on every single mitzvah tells you the reason for the mitzvah, or a reason, not the reason, a reason for the mitzvah. The Rambam Mor Nevuchim all the time gives you reasons for the mitzvah. Of course we're interested in reasons for the mitzvah. That's not what Darshin and Time of the Kra is about. Rav Shachter points out in Eretz HaTzvi in Simin Yud Tes Oz Gimel that the word Darshinan has a specific connotation. We say every morning, Rabbi Shmuel Omer, that there are Shalosh HaSemidosh HaTorah Nidreshes Ben. What does that mean? There are 13 ways through which we derive halacha. Right? A kal v'chomer is a way that we derive halacha. A klal prat is a way that we derive halacha. Sheikh Sumim Mechishim says is a way that we derive halacha from the Torah. Darshina time of the Kra, if you were to hold Darshina time of the Kra, that would be saying that the reason for a pasuk can be the basis for a halacha. It could be the basis to derive a din d'oraisa. That's what Rav Asher Weiss is asking over here. Isn't the Gemara taking this reason for the not wearing big days of Lufnei and saying, oh, now that I know the reason is Ein Kategor Nas Senegar, I'll derive a new halacha that you're not allowed to use a shofar shofar. We're deriving halacha from time of the crowd. Now it happens to be La halacha, we paskin Yud Gimel Midrash Shaitar and Josh Ben. Time of the Kra is not one of them. Even if the almana is an ashira, where the tam hamitzvah is not shayich, nevertheless you're not allowed to take a mashkon from her. But the sugya in Sanhedrin, the second paragraph of Sanhedrin, Daf Chafal, the Sanhedrin tells us that there's an exception. That if it says the reason explicitly in the pasuk, right next to the mitzvah, lo yarbe lo nashon lo yasos levavo. Then the Chacham would hold like Rabbi Shimon that you could be Dorish time of the Kra. And in such case, you could be Dorish time of the Kra. If the Torah itself gives you the reason right next to the mitzvah, then we're Darshin and time of the Kra. Rav Shachter thinks that the same would apply with Dinim Drabbanan. You know, there's sometimes that we take Zeres Drabbanan and we say that it doesn't matter whether the Tam is still applies or not. It doesn't matter whether you know how to grind up herbs and make yourself an Advil or not. You know, I'll take medicine on Shabbos. Right? But in Megdizeri, not allowed to do it, regardless of what. And sometimes we say that when the Tam is no longer there, the Gzera doesn't apply. So, how do I know which is which? So, one of the hallmarks of Rosh Hashanah's whole Derech Halimud that he picked up from Salvation is every Din Rabbanan called the Tikkun Rabbanan can't Daraisa Tikkun. The Chazal tells us every Din Rabbanan in some way or another is patterned after a Din Daraisa. And the principles Midar Rabbanan are also patterned after principles Midar Raisa. On a Doraisa level, time of the Kra doesn't change, doesn't matter in halacha. The reason for a mitzvah doesn't change the mitzvah. But if the reason is explicit in the mitzvah, then the reason matters. On a Drabbana level as well. sometimes the Rabbanan made a Gezerah the Rabbanan and didn't tell us the reason. They just made a Gezerah. The Lashon of the Gezerah was, they had reasons for it, but the Lashon of the Gezerah did not include the reasons. And other times, the Rabbanan made a Gezerah, and they didn't, and they included the reason in the Lashon HaGzeira. So he suggests that, that's always going to be the gather that works, to figure out when does the loss of a reason change the din, and when does it not change the din. On both Daraisas and Rabbanans. That when it comes to a din Rabbanan, if the reason, if the din Rabbanan was made without any reason in the Lashon of the Gezerah, so even when the reason doesn't apply, the Gezerah still applies. But when the Lashon of the Gezerah still has the reason in it, then when the reason doesn't apply, the Gezerah goes away as well. Right? That's how he suggests. But anyway, so back to the question. I didn't mean to distract with all that. Back to the question. So Rav Asher Weiss asks, I don't understand, isn't this a violation of the Rashi in the time of Dekra? We're taking Ein Kategor Nasnegar, which is nothing more than the time of Dekra, of why the Kohen Gadol wears Big Day Love and Lefnai V'Lefnim, and we're saying, based on that time of Dekra, that you're not allowed to use Shofar Shel Paro. Why is this not a violation of the Rashi in the time of Dekra? So he suggests that, I think I put it here in the Maror Kabbalah somewhere, right? So he suggests two things, but let's go with the second one. He suggests, Be'emes chitshu chazal misvara, de'in kategor nasa senegar. That really it's a svara, that in kategor nasa senegar, and I don't need a basis for the svara. Meaning svara itself is strong enough. When you have a good svara, that can generate a din d'oraisa without any basis somewhere else, without saying, oh, I see that it, you know, it's a halacha here or there. A svara that's compelling, that's strong, is the basis for a din d'oraisa. Prove it to me. Where do you ever see that a svara that's strong is the basis for a din d'oraisa?
Have a mina by Berchus Mazon.
Have a mina by Berchus Mazon. What do you mean? Oh, so that's a particular type of svara. What type of svara is that? Kal v'chomer. Meaning, a kal v'chomer is really a svara. It's just a really good svara. Right? A kal v'chomer is a really strong svara. And kal v'chomer definitely generates din d'oraisa. Or the Gemara sometimes will say, lamalikra svarahu. What do you mean, lamalikra svarahu? Svara is just what I came up with in my own mind. A pasuk is a pasuk. Lamalikra svarahu is saying that I don't need a pasuk if there's a svara that's really strong. Ein kategor nasa, says Rav Asher Weiss, is a really strong svara, so strong that it works independent of any existing din. Even if we didn't have this din of the Kohen Gadol wearing the Big Day Lavan and the Lefnai V'Lefnim, we would know a svara that ein kategor nasa senegar. That it just makes a lot of sense that you shouldn't try to use that which is a sore point, that which is a negative, and try to use it to appease HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's not going to work. So it's a very strong type of svara. So that's what he writes. Engel of svara zu d'oraisa hi, el ashas mechua al ha, de'en kwen godel nichlas l'fayv l'vim b'gdei zahav. We say, look, this din d'oraisa, which we know anyway, is an example where this svara is in action, where this svara works, but the svara works independent of anything. Yeah, okay, we don't have to read further in Rashi Weiss. So basically, what do we have so far? The Gemara had three explanations of why it is that you Shofar Shel Paro. The second of those explanations was in Kategor Nasa Senegar. The Gemara has all these qualifications of when we apply in Kategor Nasa Senegar. We didn't mention, but there is a machlokus in the Rishonim whether you need all four of those qualifications, or Rashi says you only need either Bifnim or Kapara Vinoy, meaning but just Bifnim is enough to say in Kategor Nasa Senegar, even if it's not for Kapara and not for Noy, not the other the other qualifications. Different approaches in the Rishonim. One thing is for sure about Ein Kategor Nasa Senegar, that the Gemara's conclusion is that it only applies to Pnei V'Lefnim, that it doesn't apply outside of the Kodesh HaKadosh. Aye, what about Shofar? Kilefnim Dami. What does that mean? Kilefnim Dami. Shofar is like the Kodesh HaKadosh. Why? In what way is Shofar like the Kodesh HaKadosh? Is lulav like the Kodesh HaKadosh? Is tzitzis like the Kodesh HaKadosh? Like, what makes shofar more like the Kodesh HaKadosh, like a mitzvah? Because we have a rule, so you can't break the rule. Ein kategor nasa senegar is only going to apply in the Kodesh HaKadosh. Oh, but shofar is not in the Kodesh HaKodashim. Yeah, yeah, but it's kilu v'nim dami. It's ki'ilu, it's in the Kodesh HaKodashim. So we have to understand that. And then we have to look where else Ekate Ganasis Negor applies and see if that's true, that it's only in the Kodesh HaKodashim. Or, you know, we could be magdir, what kilu v'nim dami means. So that's the avoda between now and 20 minutes from now. But question first? No? Yeah, okay.
According to
Rashi,
why
is
it in the end, is it
Doraisa or Jeroboam? So it's Doraisa, but it's a Svarami Doraisa.
So then why does it say Al-Karfag is in the Svarta or Remen?
The idea that it's the attaching the Inka Tegra Nasa Senegar, uh-oh, that's not good.
Power.
The attaching Inka Tegra Nasa Senegar attaching Inka Tegra Nasa Senegar to the Big Day Lavan, is only in Asmachta, because you don't need it, because there are psukim that tell me that Kohen Gadol only wears Big Day Lavan L'Snaifel with Nim. So that's only in Asmachta and Remez. But the idea of Ein Kategor Nasas Neger itself is a Din D'Oraisa. That's what he seems to assume. Now, let's look at some other places where Rishonim use the concept of Ein Kategor Nasas Neger. Oh, the Zoom went out because the power went out. Okay, so let's look at some other places where Ein Kategor Nasas Neger applies. And let's see if this holds up, right? If this holds true. So first of all, there is a Yerushalmi in the third paragraph of Masechta Sukkah, where the Yerushalmi says that if you have a lulav hagazel, so you're not allowed to use it for the mitzvah, you're not yotzei the mitzvah. Well, that the Mishnah says, right? Mishnah says the lulav hagazel is no good. But why is it in the Bavli? Why do we explain what's the problem with lulav hagazel? Was one using a stolen lulav?
In Kategonasa Senegar.
That's not what the Bavli says.
Oh, the Bavli.
What? Mitzvah Bavaveh, right? You're not allowed to use the Chetzeshel Mitzvah that you stole. The Yerushalmi says that the problem with using a lulav agazel is that in Kategonasa Senegar. Yerushalmi says it's like trying to present a beautiful gift to a king, only for the king to realize that the gift that you're presenting to him belonged to him all along. Like, you go into someone's house, and you're like, oh gosh, I forgot a gift. I was supposed to bring something. So you quickly grab something off the shelf. Here. So the person is like, oh, thank you. And then they're like, wait a second, you stole this from me. Right? So that's in Kategonasis. So that's when you're going to steal something and then present that as a gift to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Can't be. Right? That's one example of in Kategonasis. A second example, in Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch in Yerdeh Asim Kufam Tassif Yudali warns that you're not allowed to write anything on old, worn-out parchment that used to be used for Avodah Zarah, for Avodah Zarah prayers or whatever, and then, you know, to write out tefillos and such a thing, unless all the Avodah Zarah content is completely, completely erased. And he says, even if the Avodah Zarah, you're not allowed to write anything unless all the Avodah Zarah is completely erased, and even if the Avodah Zarah content is completely erased, Shulchan Aruch says, Lo yichtov lav divrei tefilos v'tachnunim, then kategor nasas neger. Meaning you're looking to publish a siddur, but you can't afford paper. So you're using, or you're very green or whatever, so you're going to be able to advertise your siddur is only on recycled paper. Right? That's going to be your shtick, right? Everyone that makes a new siddur has to have a shtick. Why their siddur is different than every other siddur that existed beforehand. So your shtick is going to be that you're only using recycled paper. So you're using recycled paper from Sifrei Avodah Zarah. Can you make a siddur on a paper that's made from Sifrei Avodah Zarah? Says the Shulchan Aruch, no, ein kategor nasa senegar. You're not allowed to use paper from Sifrei Avodah Zarah. So that's another example. A third example. There's a halacha that if a kohen has murdered somebody, if a kohen has killed somebody, so now what's the halacha? A kohen has killed somebody? He's not allowed to do it, right? He's not allowed to do Birchus Kohanim. So the Mishnah Brura in Sim Kuf Chav Ches, which is the siman about Birchus Kohanim, in Sif Katam Kuf Chav Tes, Mishnah Brura writes, oh, you can't do tshuva? Well, why can't he do it? You can't do tshuva? You can do tshuva. Well, why should tshuva not work for such a thing? So he says, no, it's not that he's an avarian, right? I mean, people who do big averus can still do it. And let's say a person commits Gilei Arayos. Is he allowed to do him? Yeah, for sure. He's allowed to go to Skarim if he commits Gilei Arayos. Unless the Tzibur doesn't want him. But if the Tzibur doesn't care, so he's allowed to do Birch Skarim if he commits Gilei Arayos. A person's Mechal Shabbos. Is he allowed to do Birch Skarim? Yeah. But probably. Mm-hmm. That's debatable, because that might be like a Vodazar. But a person, a guy is married to a grusha, he's not a levi kohen, because that's in his kahuna itself. That the aveira he's doing is in his kahuna itself. But he could be a big avarian and do birchas kohanim. So why is it someone who killed is not allowed to do birchas kohanim? So the principle is in kategor nasasaneir, says Mishpura. The same hands that killed another human being can never be used to bless the entire Jewish people with bashalom or whatever, because the principle in kategor nasasaneir. So here we have three examples of in kategor nasasaneir outside of our Gemara, outside of our sugya. Right? One example is Lulav HaGazul Kwanth Yerushalmi. A second example is writing tefillos on old Avodah Zarah papers. And the third, Kohen Duchenin. Problem is, neither the case of the stolen lulav, nor the case of the old parchment, nor the case of the Birchas Kohanim are in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. All of this is not in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Okay, you want to tell me, Shofar is Kilofnim, dummy, why are these Kilofnim? These aren't in the Kodesh HaKadoshim B'chlav. So how can you ever apply in Kategor Nasasaneir in these cases? Yeah?
And possibly just like Kodesh HaKadoshim stuff.
But everything we do, every mitzvah is Sirkash Baruch.
But Dafka, like, through an object, through an action, or something like that.
But that was qualification number two. Meaning, this is qualification number four. It sounds like something different than it's about actually. Meaning, the avodah that the Kohen Gadol does in the Shmona Begadim outside of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, right, that's not Lefnim. So, in some way, this has to be more Lefnim than that.
There's one word for all the examples, but the Shulchan Aruch, so he doesn't say that writing down Torah is asur, but dafka tefillah, which tefillah. Is like an intimate experience with the Kodesh Baruch.
So something about tefillah, right? What?
Yelulah.
Oh, so we'll get to it.
Or maybe it's tefillah in a way.
So good. Amzi Rav Asher Weiss in Minchas Asher on the Moadim says that a lot of times in Kategor Nasasaneir is just used as a melitza, it's just an expression. They don't really mean the technical definition of in Kategor Nasasaneir. But, you know, that doesn't really satisfy me. You know, like that. You know, they're just throwing around the term so much. I don't know. It seems a little bit forced. But maybe you guys are onto something. Maybe it's all about tefillah. Maybe in Kategor Nasasaneir is going to apply only lufnim. But every tefillah goes through lifnei v'lifnit. I mean, when we daven in Chutz La'aretz, even we face Yerushalayim, why? Because that's our tefillahs go to Shemayim, but via the Kodesh HaKadoshim. They go through the Makom HaMikdash to get to Yerushalayim, to get to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know, the Rav, Salvechik, pointed out that it's so unusual. When do we do the mitzvah of Shofar? We do the mitzvah of Shofar right in the middle of Shemona Esrei. In many shuls that you daven probably have practice only in the middle of Chazar Shatz, but even that's strange. But many other shuls actually do in the middle of silent Shemoneh Esrei. If Salvation used to have the practice, they blew shofar in the middle of silent Shemoneh Esrei. I'll say their malchus, achoros, and shofars. Would you ever do that? Would you like stop in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei and eat matzah? Matzah is a mitzvah, so why not? No, you don't do that in the middle of davening. You don't just do other mitzvahs that have nothing to do with the davening right in the middle of the davening. So Salvechik pointed out that what you have to say is that when the Gemara describes the sounds that the shofar emits, you know, ginuche gonach, yilule yalil, like the sounds of a person crying, the sounds of a person groaning, shofar isn't an independent mitzvah. It's a form of tefillah. Salvechik pointed out that a shofar is the kind of tefillah when we don't have any words to express what we're actually feeling. It's when we're out of words to even express ourselves. That's what shofar represents. It's just this cry. It's a groan. We're so desperate in facing the judgment of Rosh Hashanah that there are no words that could express our emotions. So we offer a different kind of tefillah. Tefillah in the form of a cry of a shofar. So it's not mafsik in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei. It's part of the Shemoneh Esrei. It's a form of tefillah. So it is possible that when the Gemara says the shofar is considered to be lefnim, because it's lizikaron kasi, given the lizikaron kasi kilufnim dami, it could be that's what the Gemara means. That it's talking about that element of a shofar. The shofar is a form of tefillah. All tefillahs go up to Hashem through the place where Kodesh Baruch Hu's presence is most intensely felt down here on earth. The Kodesh HaKadosh, right? That's the place. It would follow that anything that we do as a form of tefillah could also be considered lizikaron kasi and kilufnim dami. And therefore subject to Kategor Nasasaneir. So maybe that's why, you know, it doesn't say that if you write Torah down on parchments, that that's in Kadeganasim. No, it says Tefillah. Dafka, if you're writing Tefillos and Tachnunim, because all Tefillos and Tachnunim go through the Makom HaMikdash. And that's Kilifnim Dami. That's Lizikaron Kasi. That's Kilifnim Dami. Maybe that's even what the Yerushalmi understands about Lulav. The Ritva assumes that the Dalet Minim also represented Tefillah, Takarish Baruch Hu. It's not just Girabeina de Sitna, but it's that we're coming to HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying that we've done our tshuva throughout the Aseret Yemei Tshuva, and now we're ready to connect. It's a mitzvah shel mitzvah. Right? That's why the Ritva assumes that you're only going to have mitzvah above Avera on a mitzvah shel mitzvah. And a mitzvah that's like a form of being meratz HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of appeasing HaKadosh Baruch Hu through tefillah. So he assumes that Dalet Minim are such a mitzvah. Birchas Kohanim, when do we do Birchas Kohanim? Dafka middle davening, right? The Gemara discusses why we position it exactly where we position it in davening. We don't just stam do Birchas Kohanim out of nowhere. In fact, a big discussion in Poskim, I was actually thinking about giving a time in Halacha on this, later this week, a big discussion in Poskim, whether it's Bal Tosif to just do Birchas Kohanim out of nowhere. Right? I was Mesarim Kiddush at a wedding Wednesday night, the Chassan called me up in advance, he wanted to know, can they do Birchas Kohanim under the Chuppah? So it's a big shaila in Poskim, can you do that? I mean, the minhag of Sfardim is yes, minhag of Chabad is yes. And then minhag of modern Orthodox people who like the minhag of Sfardim and Chabad is also good. But is there such a minhag that we have in our community? So what does that cut? I mean, it might be a violation of Bal Tosif, perhaps. Because Birch Kohanim is dafka etfila related, it's dafka etfila related Indian, it's tefillah related mitzvah. So it could be that by anything tefillah related. Problem is, it works for the cases of Lulav, Shofar, and Birchas Kohanim, but there are still other contexts where we say in Kadeganas that don't seem to really work. First of all, the Gemara Masech Shabbos Taf Peizayin, Gemara in Shabbos Taf Peizayin tells us that Moshe Rabbeinu decided on his own to break the Luchos. And Hashem said, Yashu Kuchach HaShashibart, right? So the Ramban and the Rashba both explain that Chazal realized that Hashem must have agreed, not from the word Asher, because the word Asher is used by the Egel as well, but they must have realized that Hashem agreed to this because Hashem further instructed Moshe Rabbeinu, take those Shivrei Luchos v'samtem ba'aron, place them in the Aron. If Hashem was not happy with the idea of breaking the Luchos, he never would have kept the broken shards. He never would have said that those broken shards belong in the Aron, is, you know, to always remember that we broke those luchos. It sounds like Hashem is happy about it. If Hashem didn't agree with Moshe Rabbeinu's decision, the reminder of the breaking of the luchos would have been a violation, says the Rashba and the Ramban, of in kategor nasa sanega. It would have been in kategor nasa sanega. The Gemara in Kiddushin Dafe, so that one's not such a problem because that one is, that's Mamish Lefnim, right? It's not Tefillah related, but it's Mamish Lefnim, so that was not a problem. But here's another one. The Gemara in Kiddushin Dafe tells us that when a man and a woman get divorced, you have to dafk use a shtar. Right? Kiddushin happens with Ketzer Shtar or Bia, but a get is only a shtar. You can't divorce with money. So why can't you divorce with money? So it would seem incongruous to have the same item that affects Kiddushin also affect Gerushin. So that's why in Kategor Nasa Senegar, you can't divorce with money. You could use a shtar for Kiddushin and a shtar for Gerushin. The Gemara says, yeah, but they're different shtaros. They're two totally different things. But all money is interchangeable. I mean, if you borrow $5 and someone gives you back another $5 bill, that's the same. It's not, you don't complain about that. That's exactly the same. But when it comes to shtaros, every shtar is different words, and it's an entirely different character of the shtar. So it seems that ein kategor nasneger applies outside the context of the Kodesh HaKadoshim and outside the context of tefillah. Again, the shivrei luchos may be not such a problem, but to apply this to kiddushin. So again, Rav Asher Weiss says a melitza. They don't really mean ein kategor nasneger. Don't take it so seriously. I thought, let me just make sure that I just want to finish the idea. I thought maybe, and then at first I thought it was me that thought of it, then I realized I must have heard it in Shir from Shechta, because I later found it in a footnote in Eretz HaTzvi. So I probably heard it 10 times, and I just didn't remember the hearing it. So I thought, oh, I thought it was a great idea. So I thought maybe, Rav Shechta explains, that there's a chiluk that can be drawn between two types of Ein Kategor Nasa Sneva. Sometimes the rule tells us not to use the actual item with which we did an Aveira to then go do a mitzvah. And in other cases, the rule tells us not to use something that's reminiscent of the item that we did the Aveira with. We're not using the same item, but something that's even a reminder of the item not to do an Aveira. When you're using the Chefta itself, the exact item with which you did an Aveira, then the rule of Ein Kategoras Neger is overarching. It applies everywhere. It applies even not Lefnim. And that's why using a stolen shofar or a lulav, using the very hands that killed the man for Birch's Kohanim, using the very luchos that were broken as part of our holy place, using the very parchment upon which Avodah Zarah prayers were written, that's Aser everywhere, even outside of the Kodesh Kodashim. I mean, even forgetting our whole vart about tefillah. You could scratch that whole vart about tefillah. There's a more fundamental chiluk. That when you're dealing with the item itself that an Avera was done with, Ein Kategoras Neger is going to apply everywhere, even outside of the Kodesh Kodashim. Even using the money for gerushin, that's considered the same item, because like we said, kesef is interchangeable. It's all considered one and the same. But when you use something that was never actually used for the Aveira itself, it's only reminiscent of the Aveira. Golden clothing. Right? That's not the Egel Azav. The clothing is clothing. It's not the Egel Azav. Or you can talk about a shofar shalpara. Again, shofar shalpara is a shofar shalpara, but it's not the Egel Azav. So it's only reminiscent of the Egel Azav. So when something's only a reminder, the intensity of the Kodesh HaKadashim makes the reminder bad enough that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that's also Ein Kategoras Neger. That only is going to be a problem in the most intense spiritual environment that exists on the planet, in the Avodah L'fnei V'Lefnim. And that's the topic of our Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. Our Gemara says that it's kilufnim dami, that the problem is only kilufnim, is only lufnim. That's only when it comes to that which is actually used for the item that's actually an item that's reminiscent of and is not actually used for the Aveira. So the big days of are not worn lufnim, because the big days of are not an egel azav. The shofar is not an egel azav. So it's got to be kilufnim dami. For some reason, it's got to be kilufnim dami, because if it were not kilufnim dami, then it wouldn't be a problem. But when you're going to talk about kesef kiddushin or kesef for gerushin or tefillos that are written on pieces of parchment, that's the actual item that you wrote the avodah zara on. That's the actual, the very hands that killed somebody. That's the actual item that the avera was done with. That applies even outside of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. That will apply everywhere. So also, if you want to look it up inside, Rav Shechter, in a footnote in Eretz Tzvi in Siman Dalit on page Lamed Ches, is where he says this idea. So page Lamed Ches, I think, again, to quickly summarize, we had a Mishnah. The Mishnah said that a shofar shalpara is a machlokas between the Tanakam and Rabbi Yossi, whether you're allowed to use a shofar shalpara. And the svara for the Tanakam was that it can't be used because it's only called the Karen. Rabbi Yossi says every animal shofar is called the Karen. The Gemara says, what are the Rabbanan going to respond to that? Three possibilities. Possibility number one is, every other animal, yeah, it's called the Karen, but it's also called the Shofar. By Para, it's only called the Karen. Possibility number two is, no, the real reason for the Rabbanan is in Kategarnas, possibility number three is, the real reason for the Rabbanan is that Shofar Shalpara is made up of multiple layers. It's not a single Shofar. Within in Kategarnas, the Gemara said, in Kategarnas, only applies when it's a matter of kapara, when it's a matter of noi, when it's loishtana, and then ultimately what really stands in the end, that Ein Kategoras Neger only applies lefnai v'lefnim. Ah, but shofar's not lefnai v'lefnim, it's kilefnim dami. We view it as if it's lefnai v'lefnim. So he said, but wait a second, we apply Ein Kategoras Neger to a whole bunch of things that are not lefnai v'lefnim. Lulav ha'gazel, tfilos that are written on parchment that used to have avodah zarah. Hands of a Kohen that murdered somebody. So first we said, yeah, but all those are tefillah related things, so maybe that's good enough. Yeah, but that's not going to explain Kesef Kiddushin. So we said, no, maybe there's a different overarching rule, and that is that there are two types. There are Tzvei Dinim and Ein Kategoras Neger. There's when the item itself was used for the Avera, then Ein Kategoras Neger is going to apply everywhere. And then there are places where it wasn't the item itself, but it's only that which is reminiscent of the Avera, like Big Day Zahav, like the Shofar. When it's only reminiscent, then it's only going to be a problem. Lefnai v'lefnim, it's not going to be a problem anywhere else. Okay. Yeah.
What about when we had Inca Tigre by a person? For example, I think we had what Aron couldn't do. Elazar did something because Aron couldn't do it because it would be Inca Tigre that's sending her. I'm sure it was the Parra Juma or healing the people. We saw the Parsha.
Chazal used the term Inca Tigre that's sending her?
I think Rashi brings it up that I think Inca Tigre that's sending her because Aron, the reason why it happened, therefore he wasn't.
Oh. Because he was involved in the Yega. And that's not the flim.
Or really the object itself.
Right.
Unless we just don't apply anything about the snake over there, which is.
Interesting. I don't know. Gotta think about that one. Okay. All right. Have an easy fast, everybody. Let's hope.